It's just Moreno, Rav Shlita. Well, we generally know that one should not go into a church or other places which appear to be idolatrous, but one of the questions we're going to ask is it idolatrous? You're certainly not going to go in one of these places to daven. Although oddly, there was once a case of somebody called Avram who went into a church and he put on his talis and he started davening, and the priest came in and was highly offended at the sight of this Jewish gentleman davening in his church. So he made an announcement: would all non-Christians please leave? Well, he carried on davening. So this priest said louder: will all Jews please leave? So this Avram took off his talis, went up to the statue in the front of the shul, of the church, picked it up and said, come on, Bubala, let's go. They don't want us here. We've recently seen the problem relating to the national curriculum of Jewish schools being asked to teach a second religion. And the chief rabbi has suggested to Jewish schools that they teach Islam. We're not going to say too much about Islam, which gets a very bad press nowadays, and very understandably so. But the general theme of Islam is not quite as complex as Christianity, because most Poskim believe that Islam is not idolatry. It's not Avodah Zarah. For them, for us certainly it is. But we will deal a little bit with the subject. But the main thrust is about Christianity. You'll recall a year ago we spoke about Christian mistranslations. How as you go systematically through the whole of Tanakh, you find that there is a deliberate aim at mistranslating to suit their narrative. It couldn't have been by accident. And plagiarism is the name of the game for these other main religions. As the Khuzri looks at the main religions of the world, besides Judaism, he looks at Christianity, he looks at Islam, and how they take our Bible and claim it's theirs, and then try and change the story by claiming it was Yishmael who was about to be offered at the Akedah, etc. But we're not going to deal with that today. You can listen to that Shia on the web. What we're going to deal with today is, can you actually go into a church? Is it a place of idolatry or isn't it? After all, they are worshipping the same God. And really, they are monotheistic in the sense that they regard that God as one God, but they believe in what you might call intermediaries. They believe in something called Trinity. So certainly for us, that is Avodah Zarah. But is it Avodah Zarah for them? What's the basis of it all? Well, it's all inferred from a Mishnah in Avodah Zarah, Perek Aleph Mishnah Dalad, where if a town has idolatry going on or there's a festival, then 3 days beforehand one shouldn't even enter it, apart from doing business with the people there, because otherwise they will thank their idol for the money that you gave them. But you can do business outside the city. So Mahu Leilech Hashom, what about simply going there? So if the road that you're on, the only place it leads to is that city, also you're not allowed to go there. Why not? You're not practicing idolatry, you're not doing Avodah Zarah. But even if you're on the way to it, we're worried about Chashad. Chashad means you will become suspect. We know the din of Maris Ayin. Maris Ayin is not simply a din where somebody might copy you and do what you're doing. It's also that you shouldn't do anything to diminish your own reputation. Your reputation is based on the fact that you are a frum, heimish, a Jew, and that you're not going to do anything which looks suspect to your own name. The yisem nekiim, you shall be clean, so to speak, when it comes to your reputation. You shall be above board. That comes from Shkolim, and where we learn about a Kohen who went into the financial room, the chamber, or the treasury for the Karbonus, and he had no pockets. Just to demonstrate to everyone that there's no way he would be carrying out money in an unauthorized way. And even when he was in there, he would be talking to people outside to show that when he comes out, he wasn't even hiding anything in his mouth because he was talking normally. So that a person has to not just be above board, but to be seen to be above board. So one often causes suspicion. Now the Ritva says, you don't go into any of these places of worship, and he says it's Yarod Valyavar. because the three cardinal sins include idolatry. And if a person must be prepared to give up his life rather than commit any of the three cardinal sins of Gilaroyos, Shvichaslomim, Avodah Zorah comes within one of those sins. So you really have to distance yourself from any form of Avodah Zorah. However, the Rosh says, look, when it comes to going near or into these places, when we're worried about chashad, that you're being suspect, we're not worried that you're actually serving this idolatry, and therefore the Rosh does not regard it as part of Yarog Valyavo, as something for which one should give up one's life. So, is Christianity Avodah Zorah or isn't it? Well, the first principle is that most brands of them adopt Trinity, except perhaps the Unitarians, and Trinity is an Avodah Zorah. It is something other than what we may follow. So even the Protestants fall in that category, even though the Catholics eye the Protestants as a kind of reform. When Henry VIII broke away from the church in Rome because he wanted to do a divorce, so what did he do? He apparently bought a shas, and he brought in three rabbis to interpret it to him in order to give himself justification to carry out a divorce, because Christianity arises from the Torah and the Torah allows a divorce. And that's how the Church of England was founded. But there is another principle. Okay, it's Avodah Zorah for Jews, but is it Avodah Zorah for Gentiles? So the Ramah writes in Orach Chaim Siman Kuf Nun Vav that the Bnei Noach, the Noachide laws, enable them to have what's called Shittuf. Shittuf means some sort of partnership with some other kind of intermediary or even deity. That the Ramah is saying that, well, he's implying about Christianity, that as far as he is concerned, there is nothing intrinsically wrong for Christians to practice Avodah Zorah. So Christianity is for Christians and Judaism is for Jews. So it's Avodah Zorah for them. Not for them, but it is for us. And if that is the case, is the status of Christianity relevant? After all, we've got the emotional aspect as well. Jews gave up their lives not to become baptized, and we've suffered seriously from the Inquisition, from pogroms, from the Crusades. We're obviously not in love with Christianity in that respect. But over the period of the 20th century, the relationship between Christians and Jews became better. We've got the Council of Christians and Jews, and therefore we have this question much more than we ever had it before. Because before, it was unheard of for us to go into churches, and for that matter, Christians would never come into synagogues. So the question is nowadays, and particularly when there may be compelling reasons, is it maybe a reason to save one's life? Or what about parnosa reasons? What if you're an architect and you're asked to design a church? What if you're a planning consultant and a bishop phones you up and asks you to get planning permission for a church, which is indeed what happened to me? What is the halacha on these things? The Rambam writes in his Perush on Mishnayos in Avodah Zorah, Perek Aleph Mishnah Gimel, and he writes also in other places, Machas Asuros, in Hilchos Avodah Zorah, Perek Tes Halacha Dalet, Hilchos Teshuva, Perek Gimel Halacha Ches. He says quite categorically that Christianity is Avodah Zorah. No holds barred, doesn't matter which brand, he says it is Avodah Zorah. The Shach comments on this in Yerodea Kuf Mem Tes, because there are other opinions apart from the Rambam. It's a bit of a machlokas Rishonim, because the Meiri is recorded as having come out saying that the Christians are not called idolaters. They believe in Hashem, he says. They believe in his single unity and his power. And he says this in Gittin, the Samach Beis Amud Aleph. And he says, the thing about Christians is that they are misconceived in their derech, that they have this idea about Trinity and other things. But he says, that is not Avodah Zorah. There are others who say, well, the Meiri, the manuscripts were found much later, the Cairo Geniza, and are we going to say that everything he wrote is authentic? And we do know that many writings have been censored, and the Chasam Sofer is actually recorded as saying that it is a mitzvah to erase what the Meiri wrote because it was not from his holy mouth. So said the Chasam Sofer. Well, what we can say from the Gemara, Tosfos in Avodah Zorah, Daf Yudayin, say you shall distance yourself even from the entrance. But there's another Tosfos on Samach Gimel Amud Beis, where Tosfos imply that because of Shittuf, we don't dismiss them completely as idolaters. For them, Shittuf is not an Isur, but for us, it definitely is. The Noda Behuda, Rabbi Cheskel Landau of Prague, who I believe, Jonathan, you are descended from. Apparently all the Landaus are descended from the Noda Behuda.
Yeah, most of them.
Well, he writes in Tanina Yeredea Kufmem Ches that Shittuf is Avodah Zorah, and that's the line he draws under it. So we said earlier about the Ramah, who was more flexible, but the Noda Behuda was categorical that Shittuf we regard as Avodah Zorah, and there are no compromises. Rav Chaim Palagi writes in the Shalas Tumas Chaim Beyad Simon Chafov, he says, when entering a church, a spirit of heresy enters a person, and we find generally amongst the Sfardim a much more strict approach when it comes to churches. In particular, Rav Avadia Yosef was in 1948 a dayan in Egypt, and the chief rabbi of Egypt then asked him to attend on his behalf a funeral of some royal dignitary, and Rav Avadia refused. And it was put to him, aren't you doing a Chilul Hashem if you're not going along to this funeral, which would be in one of their idolatrous places, and maybe there'll be Eivor, there'll be hatred coming as a result of it. And Rav Avadia Yosef's attitude was, he says, if we explain to them in a rational and sensible way that our religion requirements is that we don't go into other religious places of worship, and you do it in a respectful manner, then they will not hate you for it. And he writes in his Trumas about it that there was no fallout. He didn't suffer from it. And he was asked whether somebody who works in air conditioning units may install these machines into their places of worship, and he advised, don't do it, but you can subcontract it to somebody who's not Jewish in order to do. So he took a much firmer line.
Are they opposed to going to mosques?
Well, I'll come to the subject of mosques, but the general attitude with Islam is that it's not Avodah Zorah at all. Indeed, the Ma'aras HaMachpelah in Hebron is actually located in a mosque.
Yeah, but and
We were there first. Okay. Let's deal with mosques now, since you brought it up.
Very recently in Hasmonean, there was a teacher there who was a teacher for 20 plus years.
Yes.
She passed away, and the question was, should they go, and everybody go to the church where they were going to give the eulogy or whatever?
What, a Muslim?
No, she was
church.
English.
English church.
She became in her later years,
yes,
a prelate or something lower down, but she wanted to become some kind of vicar on whatever level.
Oh.
And the question was that she was very much involved in Hasmonean, and the question was, should the SMT go, leadership thing, and it was a whole discussion. Many, many people went.
You mean from the staff?
From the staff.
Yes.
My own staff went. And the question was, I had the question myself, I was very, very close and part of this thing. I asked two different rabbonim. One said yes, one said no.
So she was a member of staff in Hasmonean,
yes,
and she passed away, and the service was held in a church?
There was a eulogy.
But what kind of church was it?
Was it
Catholic or Protestant?
No, it was a high church, it was in between.
Sorry, I don't know what a high church means. Is it Catholic? It's Church of England. Okay. All right, Church of England. While we're dealing with mosques, most poskim, especially including the Rambam says Islam is not Avodah Zorah. He says they're misguided, but it's not Avodah Zorah. In fact, he even goes as far as calling the Muslims foolish, but he does not suggest that it's Avodah Zarah, and this is brought down in Yeredeah, Chuskat Dalad involved, the Taz in Sifkot and Dalad, the Shach in Sifkot and Yud Beis, and the Ben Ishchai writes about this in Parshas Bolok, and so the Magen Avraham writes in Arachayim, Kufchav Ches, Sifkot and Dalad, that they are not idolaters, but they're apostates, right? They're like what they use called Geshmat HaYidin, but they're not idolaters. And Rabbi Yitzchok Elchanan Spector writes in Ein Yitzchok, Simon Yud Aleph, that one may even daven in a mosque, namely one's own Jewish prayers. So Rabbi Eliashiv Paskin that it's okay to enter a mosque, but there is a dissenting voice from the Tzitz Eliezer, Rabbi Eliezer Waldenberg Zichron Bracha, who writes in his Tshuvas, volume 14, chapter 91, and he forbids it, basing it on a run. And the Me'iri in Avodah Zorah, Nun Zayin, suggests that Islam is Avodah Zorah. And remember, it was the Me'iri who was more flexible about Christianity. Unless he says there are compelling reasons to go into a mosque, the Me'iri forbids it. So, there you have it, a mixture. We're not dealing today with practical halacha l'maaseh personally, because any personal queries should be forwarded to a competent rabbinical authority.
The Rambam's reason, was it because of shittuch, or bearing in mind in the Rambam's time there weren't Protestants, you know, without all the images and everything else.
Well, the Rambam's time came before there was a breakaway, where the Church of England came much later. My Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Moshe Lezinger, who I asked personal queries to on this, I was actually asked once to give a lecture about a new building development in a convenient location for the local population, that they didn't have to travel far, and it turned out this location was a church. But it was just done because that is the convenient meeting place for them, and their church is used for multi-use activities. They have their jumble sale there, you know, they have a polling station there. So I had this personal question about giving this lecture. There were no icons on display in this place of worship. It was Church of England, and I was told that I may go there to give that lecture.
In the Rambam's day,
yeah, they had the icons. They didn't have this breakaway yet of Protestantism.
If the Rambam's day was shit up, then obviously it wouldn't make any difference, really, if they're Protestant.
Well, it's implied from the Rambam. It's implied from the Rambam that shit up is Avodah Zorah as far as he's concerned. Yes. I was once in my student days, we had to do a lot of work in the town of Winchester, and I was with a group, and when we came to this famous building called Winchester Cathedral, and of course everybody else in the team wanted to go inside and have a look at its fantastic architecture, a very large, impressive building. So I just said to them, look, please forgive me, I hope you don't mind, if I remain outside I'm going to get some fresh air, and they understood. So I didn't go in. I once had somebody asking me whether he could attend the Sistine Chapel in Rome, not for prayers, Chas v'Shalom, but just to admire the artworks of Michelangelo. The Poskim write about this, and all of them are united in their view, saying that you may not go in. I've come across one left-wing recent rabbi who said, well, for educational purposes and to know how to argue with Christians, but his view is not something which is accepted by the others. Yes?
Earlier this year, a number of months ago, someone called a Russell White.
I'll be dealing with him in a moment.
Okay.
Yeah. But what's your recollection of what Russia White said?
Okay, so it was very clear that you could go into these churches because it was quite clear that you're not going to be converted.
Yeah.
You're not going to pray, just to look at it.
Yeah, I'll deal with Rav Moshe White shortly. Yeah. He's written a teshuva on this, and I do have a copy of it with me. So we'll come to that. Yes, we've got another interesting comment coming.
My school wants to have a Shabbaton in a church. Would this be allowed?
Well, it was a castle/church. Right, look, I don't know all the details of what you're talking about your school and about your church, about their church, but I will quote to you a tshuva from Reb Moshe Feinstein, who was asked, Jewish schools, as they are, often find themselves without premises, and they have to find somewhere temporary to go. And Reb Moshe Paskins, that this school may not use a church for their temporary education. if necessary, then the kids will just stay at home, but they're not allowed to use the church for Jewish education.
Right,
that was the stuff from Reb Moshe. Pardon?
Would it be fine if they covered up
property? Well, no, it's not really enough.
I don't think it was a church. But in some times, for all the scouts and all these kind of things, they have games and they have parks and they own things. And some of the buildings, which aren't the church, but they are
the church hall. That's the church hall.
And even the Tasmanians have, in fact, you go to these places, they, I don't know if they are English, but they have gone, and everybody in the end just covers up.
Well, I remember 30, 40 years ago, it was very common for somebody holding a simcha to hire a church hall. It happened in the Riding, where where the shuls did not in those days have the facilities maybe to accommodate large numbers of people, and it was quite common for the local church hall to be used for simcha, but it was not a place of avodah zarah. It was obviously tied to the church, and they were paying the church, and that might raise questions, but it was very common. Nowadays we got larger hotels, we got shul halls, the practice has stopped. Yes.
We've also in the past attended camps together, I think, where there were Catholic schools with occasionally there were little images on walls and things which I think were covered up, but they were there.
That doesn't make it into a church.
No, I'm just making
sure. Yeah.
People used to go into lodgings and things.
Yeah, alright, so what about assuming that it's really forbidden, assuming it's Yarog Valiavo, what about if you want to go into a church to save your life? Let's say you're being chased by a terrorist, and can you go into a church to save your life, or is it Yarog Valiavo? And there's a clip stuck from the Shulchan Aruch that it's okay, that you are allowed to go into a church in those circumstances. Yerodeo Simon Kufnon Zion Sif Gimel. So to save your life, you know, definitely, because you're not serving Avodah Zarah. You mustn't serve Avodah Zarah, and you must be prepared to give up your life to serve rather than serve Avodah Zarah. But if it's just to save your skin and to go into church, you're not serving anything. Although the Ritva is machmir on this, none of the other Rishonim suggest that you must give up your life. And Tosfos in Sanhedrin Samach Gimel talks about business with Gentiles. And they quote Rabbeinu Tam saying, well, nowadays you can do such business because whether they're Avodah Zarah nowadays is what it was originally. There's a question as to what Tosfos actually mean, but Tosfos is simply saying there that, and that's the way they're interpreted, is that Shittuf, as far as we're concerned, is not Avodah Zarah. It's not for us to practice, but Shittuf is something where we can deal with them, and it is permitted. I mean, when you deal with them in business, then the problem is if you go to court, they're going to take an oath, and you are causing them to take an oath, and when they're taking that oath, they're showing their belief in Avodah Zarah.
Never thought of that.
Now, we have been aware of instances where our rabbinical leadership have attended churches. Notably our chief rabbis, and on what basis are they perhaps doing such a thing? I mean, to the chief rabbi and Rabbi Plantzi attended Prince William's wedding, that's Rabbi Sachs, the previous chief rabbi, which was obviously held in a church, and it really goes back to the year 1902 when Chief Rabbi Adler was invited to attend the coronation of Edward VII. And this coronation was taking place on a Shabbos morning. And what did he do? So he specially organized a Hashkama service for davening in a shul nearby, where he stayed in the locality of Westminster, and he attended, I think it was, called the Western Synagogue, and he walked in his gown, in his canonicals, to Westminster Cathedral. And he had a police escort, which had a lot of publicity.
Abbey, not cathedral.
Oh, sorry, Westminster Abbey. Yes, you're right. Cathedral is the Catholic. Thank you. It is important. He attended Westminster Abbey. Apparently, he was a friend of he was well acquainted with Edward the VII, although unfortunately his unfortunately his grandson, who was Edward the VIII, who abdicated, had Nazi sympathies. But Edward the VII was very friendly, and so he attended his coronation, and that may have been seen as some sort of precedent for what happened later. When Winston Churchill died in 1965, it was on the day of my bar mitzvah, Chief Rabbi Brody did not go to the funeral, but he was represented by Reverend Isaac Livingstone, who went along in his dog collar. He was the then minister of the Golders Green Synagogue, and he attended the funeral, and Lord Rav Jacobovitz attended the Queen Mother's 80th birthday Thanksgiving at St. Paul's Cathedral. The record is that he was not actually invited to the wedding of Prince Charles and Lady Diana, although what seems to have happened with the protocol, or what seems nowadays to happen, is that before you receive your invitation, you get some phone call of will you come, so that there isn't any snub or possible offence caused. And I believe that he was actually phoned beforehand, asked, would you come if you were invited? And since he was asked, he said, well, I'd rather not, actually, but I will send my presents, etc., etc. But when it came to Princess Diana's funeral, Lord Saxe was in attendance outside the building, and the BBC commentator is recorded as having said that Lord Saxe cannot enter the church owing to the fact that today is the Sabbath. But that wasn't the real reason why he didn't enter. Well, we know that Lord Saxe avoided going to the funeral of Hugo Grin in 1996, but he did go to the Queen's Golden Jubilee at St. Paul's in 2002. There was a Diamond Jubilee, I believe, in 2012, which we had a special bagel share about. And he did attend in April 2011 the wedding of Prince William and Kate Middleton with Rabbi Clancy. Now,
are you saying that it's worse to go into a reform shul than into a church?
Definitely, because it's more deceptive. People think that a reform is closer to Judaism, where it's reform denied Torah's Minash Shemayim. In fact, it seems the church accept that the Torah is Minash Shemayim. They just start with their own modification. But we'll deal with the reform in a moment.
Isn't it the case with the weddings and things like that, that you're commanded?
Right. This is the line which is actually taken by the London-based Dick. If you are commanded by the Queen to go, then you go. And their reasoning is either Mishum Eivo, because otherwise it might give rise to hatred, or that there is no Marisai, because everybody knows what you're going to and why you're going to it. And there was an argument about this from Rav David Bleich, who, in a conversation with a local rabbi in England, Rabbi Bleich wrote a long article in the magazine Tradition about going into churches, and he asked a certain rabbi in Golders Green, come on, is it really a danger to life? You know, there's no sakona for the Jews. Are the Jews really going to suffer if the rabbi doesn't go? And he even went as far as saying to a certain rabbi about the London-based inn, are they nuts? Because the rabbis of the London-based inn sanctioned it, and he felt that there was no heter for it. But the psak of the London-based inn is if the Queen commands you to go, then you go. We give kavod l'malchus. We're living in a malchus shel chesed. We respect the Queen. Everyone knows that we're not going to perform idolatry. But if you look at the video of the wedding of Prince William and Kate Middleton, there are some very subtle differences. When the singing of the hymns started and the camera swivels round, Chief Rabbi Saxe was missing from his seat. He clearly must have had some discreet location where there was a door nearby, and every time prayers started, he disappeared, and he returned for the congratulatory speeches or whatever. Very subtle, very diplomatic, and very tactful. Well, sorry. What about if I simply use a car park of the church? What if I just want to walk through as a shortcut of the car park to the church? Reb Moshe Feinstein, Paskens, and Yerodeh Chelik Gimel, Kufkaf test that it is allowed. We don't say chashad, that you're suspect by going through such a thing. But if there is a service in progress at that moment, better not. And the person who is machmir is praiseworthy of avoiding such areas completely.
What about the halls?
The halls are not called places of avodah zarah. Although they are in the same building, but it's preferable to avoid them.
Because in the riding there's a big hall for the Greek.
Yeah, the Greek Orthodox have a hall.
There are charity events.
There are charity events. They don't use it for their services.
Yeah. There's a Sephardi Beis Olam in Hoop Lane.
Yes.
Not much parking. You know, I once had to go to Levi there, and we did park in the church car park opposite, as did many other people.
Yes. So what do? Go across the road?
Yeah, the church.
To the Golders Green Crematorium?
No, it's a Sephardi Beis Olam next to
yes.
The
right.
Not much parking. They don't have much parking, so people have to park in the church car park.
Right. Well, talking about Hoop Lane and the Golders Green Crematorium, a very good friend of mine once had a Shaila, which we took to Rabbi Cooper, where a senior partner of his firm had died. And everybody of the company was expected to go along to the funeral. It was a three-line whip. Everyone was told that they have to be there to pay their last respects to this senior partner. And, the person who was being cremated apparently was being Jewish, was Jewish, and who was being cremated. It wasn't a church funeral or burial, but it was a cremation. And so he wondered what he should do, and he was very worried about what he should do. And we went together to Rabbi Cooper, who said, "You have to go." He said, "Go along." But he said to him, "Don't give the impression from your dress that you are Jewish. You know, don't wear your yarmulke. You might wear some cap or something, because we don't want people to say that the Jews attend these services. But you, as a matter of your parnosa, as your work," and Rabbi Cooper was always very sensitive about people's employment and how it might affect them, and he paskens that he should go. The Tzitz Eliezer, incidentally, told a certain rabbi who had to go along in a compelling way to one of these sorts of things, saying, he said, "You should look as rabbinical as possible." He said to him, because that might make a kiddush Hashem to show that we're paying our respects and that we are being friendly with other religions. So that was the psak of the Tzitz Eliezer. But Rabbi Cooper told him that he wasn't representing anything as a rabbi. He was there as some junior in a solicitor's firm, and he told him to go along.
Cremation or a funeral?
That case was a funeral, not a cremation. Maybe there's a difference.
I asked Rabbi Cooper about going to cremation.
You asked Rabbi Cooper about a cremation?
My mother's
survivor.
Yes. And his answer is completely different, that I shouldn't go. And also, I shouldn't take my mother, who was going to go anyway.
Really?
I can't remember that clearly. It was very clear that I had to clear that I shouldn't go.
Well, he told you not to go, but were there any implications for employment?
I'd also,
right. Right. So we can.
I think he even told me not to take my mother. That shouldn't even.
Right. So we've now got the. We can repeat now the psak of Rabbi Cooper. No cremation attendance, but if it's compelling for your employment, then you go. Rav Bleich allows a polling station to be, if you want to go along to vote and it's being held in a church. He compares it to the car park we spoke about. But the Shalat Shuas Yisrael Avdi says in chapter 45 that if there are icons or a cross in the place, he says you don't go in. I suppose it could be arranged for some screen to be put up or something to cover it all up. So we're getting a general picture of the times when there are exceptional circumstances. An architect came once to Reb Moshe Feinstein and asked if he may design a church, and that would involve obviously going into it when works are in progress. And the Shalat Shuas Igris Moshe Yerodeah Chelek Aleph Simon Samaches, he said it is allowed. I know someone very well called Daniel Rosenfelder, who is an architect, who was engaged by the Reform to design and build new premises for them at their premises in Finchley for worshipping purposes. And he asked Rav Feldman whether he may engage in doing so, and he was told that he may. But Rav Feldman said to him, do you really want your name on the board outside the building site when works are taking place? And, I've been approached in the past by Reform to do a professional job, and I declined it. But following rabbinical guidance, I have helped an evangelical group, not a Catholic group, to get planning permission for their place of worship. Is there a Chilul Hashem involved? This was the view of Rabbi Riskin, if we shun them so much. But he is a lone voice, and in his view, it's to educate yourself about them in order to be able to engage in debates, which itself is a questionable activity. His view was flexible. The view of Rav Osher Weiss, whose name you mentioned earlier, has been quoted by a number of rabbis recently. He wrote the Minchas Osher, and he wrote this in connection with the swearing in of President Obama 7 years ago, when a certain rabbi called Rabbi Luckstein, Haskell Luckstein, attended the swearing in a church. Apparently he even read out some non-denominational prayer, and there was a huge outcry about it, which caused a lot of enmity amongst the Jewish community, and Rabbi Bleich said there was no hesser for this. Well, there were quotes about the Rome chief rabbi, Rav Ricardo de Signi, who attended Pope Francis's installation mass, and he attended the funeral for Pope John Paul II. Well, the Pope is a head of state, so we can understand something about that. But so is President Obama a head of state. So was it correct or was it not correct to go along? And Rav Osher Weiss deals with the background to this. He quotes the Rambam that you're not allowed even in a city where there's a Avodah Zarah, kal v'chomer a building. But our Mishnah spoke about the roots going to this place of Avodah Zarah, and Rashi there says, mipnei hachashad. He says the worry we were talking about earlier wasn't that you might worship idols. What is the reason for the prohibition if you are not practicing idolatry? So the reason is given is mipnei hachshad, that you should not be suspect, that your reputation should not suffer. And Rav Osher Weiss says, where is the chashad here? Where is the suspicion? Certainly, we quoted earlier the Ritva that one can't enter these places, but Mokem Sheregin in the Kanes, where it's Avodah Zorah. But if it's a courtyard or one goes for other reasons, then it may be okay. And there's discussion about the polling station and the jumble sales and other things. So his attitude is, you don't bless them, you don't curse them, but if there are compelling reasons. And this Rav Osher Weiss is quoted by Rav Nochum Rabinovich, a former member of this shul, who is now the Rosh Yeshiva of Male Adumim. And he writes, let's actually look at nowadays what the attitudes are of Christians compared with former times. And generally speaking, they don't even believe in Trinity and these other things. They believe in a Messiah, who they call Yeshu, or we call Yeshu. And he says it's not Avodah Zorah in his view at all. And therefore, their church is not a base of Avodah Zorah. It's still kafira. If we follow such a derech, that would be forbidden. But for them, okay, if there are compelling reasons to go in, he is mutted. Well, we've spoken about mosques already. I would simply conclude from a quote from Rav Naftali Brauer, who said, one can't enter a church without a church a bit entering you. And therefore, it's best to avoid it. We need to respect our boundaries. If you explain in a rational and convincing way to your Christian friends why you feel you cannot enter for whatever reason, then they will generally respect you for it. They don't like hypocrisy, but what they do respect you for are your deeply held, sincere beliefs. And therefore, that is the bottom line. But if there are compelling reasons, whether it's parnosa or otherwise, we can see that the psak din generally given is flexible, especially in the light of the fact that there isn't really an Avodah Zarah nowadays like there used to be. But places of Hinduism, Buddhism, and these other cults are Avodah Zarah, and there's no question about those where one should keep well away from them. That's therefore quite definitive. The Magen Avraham does believe that the Muslims are not idolaters at all, and that might help foster some good relations. And if you go into Stamford Hill, you will find that there are meetings taking place regularly between the organisers of the local mosque and the shuls, where they coordinate in very close way, because of the racism going on in the area and the violence and so on, and that is certainly something which is admirable for us to appreciate. Thank you very much.